and rejoin the others. Doc Tanner was straining, trying to remember.
Front Royals in Virginia. There used to be a saying.
What?
Something about the state. They said it in the 90s. 19s, not 18s.
Jack Lauren was leaning against the short trunk of the mast, listening to the old man.
What did they say, Doc?
Ah, yes, I remember now. I don't rightly recall.
Guess must have been Virginia for killers.
Quite possibly, my white-haired young companion. Quite possibly.
Later, over the supper of fresh trout, Ryan told his friends of his decision that he was determined to go on to Virginia.
Cheer your brother?
Just might.
See, you're home. I like that.
Doc Tanner smiled at the news.
Sibling rivalry was always an overwhelming motivation, was it not, my dear Ryan?
Ryan nodded, even though he had no idea what the old man was talking about. Only J.B. didn't say anything, busying himself with picking bits of fish from between his teeth with a long, narrow bone. His eyes behind the round lenses of his spectacles gave nothing away.
You don't seem surprised, J.B. I know I sort of said I would before, but this is for real. I'll go. Even if I go on my own, I'm going back to see my brother.
Hell, I knew that all along.
During the next day, the Hudson River flowed ever more slowly and became wider, the banks shelving away a good quarter mile. As they rolled gently toward the sea, they saw more and more evidence of the devastation wrought by the century-old nuking of the Northeast. They passed the weed-softened remains of what Doc swore must have been a town he called Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie?
Jack Lauren, for some reason, found that name hilariously amusing, and he rolled around on the damp timbers, holding his sides, laughing uncontrollably. His merriment was contagious, and everyone on the raft began to laugh with him. Even J.B. cracked his cheeks at the sound of the name.
Guess it always was a funny name.
About 4 hours later, they found themselves drifting toward the wreck of what had once been a gigantic bridge. Ryan spotted it first. He was standing on the right side of the unwieldy craft, urinating to leeward, shielding himself from the others as best he could. On the raft, there was no time or space for any of the niceties of hygiene. As he pissed, it was carried away in a great amber arc, splashing into the flat surface of the river.
Look at that!
Terrific, lover. But what'll you do for an encore?
You're just jealous, but that's not...
Jealous? Ryan Cotter, you've got...
She broke off, seeing that he was pointing around the long bend of the Hudson, far ahead of them. The river narrowed a little, breaking over the massive piles of the bridge. Rusting girders dangled high above, with a network of thick metal rods holding crumbling chunks of stone. A bent piece of metal that looked as if it might once have been painted green had the remains of some white lettering on it. White pluh was all that could be read. It took all their strength, using the crudely cut branches, to steer the raft around the obstacles. They pushed at the stone piers and shoved away from the maze of fallen metal, where the water pitched and foamed, creating strong eddies and currents. Once they were past the toppled bridge, they were able to relax once more, allowing the slow-moving river to carry them along. Christy stood at the front of the raft, balancing herself easily against the rhythmic pitching and rolling.
Doc?
What is it?
The wind tugged at Christy's long hair so that it wrapped itself around her face. She paused to free herself.
I heard that these parts were filled with people before the big chilling.
That's so, my dear. Thicker than bugs on a bumper was a current expression. Why do you ask now? Ah, because there is so little sign of human habitation on either bank of the Hudson. Is that not what prompted your question?
Yeah, that bridge. And a few ruins on the cliffs. That's about all we've seen for hours. No people. Not since the Stickies.
Doc clambered to his feet, helped by a steadying hand from Lori. His knee joints cracked like miniature blasters. He rested an arm across Christy's shoulders, gazing roomily at both sides of the river.
You cannot possibly imagine the devastation wrought here. Nor, fortunately, can I. If one could have seen the mega-death scenario, then one would have gone stark mad upon the instant.
For the last mile or so, perched high on the cliffs to the east, they'd been able to see a few ruined buildings. They were eyeless wrecks, almost covered by the encroaching vegetation. Most were roofless, walls bleached to an unhealthy white by 100 years of chemstorms. One or two still showed traces of blackening and scorch marks along the upper edges of many of the empty windows. Ryan joined Doc and Christy, and they glanced behind them, over the high ground to the west of the Hudson. The sun was already out of sight, and dark purple clouds were boiling up, showing the menace of ugly thunderheads at their crests.
Time to put in for the night. How far from New York, Doc?
From that sky, there is menace from the west. Perchance we should find shelter. I cannot recall the lie of the land hereabouts, Ryan, but I think we must be closing in on the metropolis. Yonkers is a name that seeps into my mind, though what it was I cannot recall.
What about New York?
The wreckage from that toll bridge back yonder could have overturned our frail bark. The farther south we go along the Hudson, the more problems we shall encounter of that type. Before we reach New York, we may need to desert the water for the land.
J.B. stood up, pushing his fedora back.
Maps show us around 50 miles to go. How far from there to Front Royal? You know, Ryan?
Always heard as a kid that New York was close to 250 from the Ville.
250? Need us a wag to get there. Never make that distance on foot.
Ryan nodded. It was true. A small party of 6 people, however well armed and brave, would stand no chance at all in the Deathlands covering that greater distance without transport. The trader had traveled in a convoy of armored war wags, and even then they'd been ambushed and taken losses.
I'm like to get off this boat.
Let's head in. There's a kind of lagoon ahead on the right. Looks like the whole bank got blasted in. Rad count still shows the edge of orange. Must have been hotter than Fireblast around here.
Too true, my dear Mr. Corder. Armageddon Day must have taken the lives of half the good people around here within 10 minutes of the first bomb. Half the survivors within 48 hours from injuries and wounds. Then, of every 1,000 men, women, and children still breathing, perhaps 1 or 2 might live beyond the next 3 months.
Nuke Winter took lots, Uncle Tyus told me.
Indeed. Projections for that were not, I think, accurate. Many scientists said it would be winter for 20 years. After the bombs finished falling and there was a quiet between heaven and earth, the night and darkness and cold came. But within 5 years, I think our climate was back to normal.
It's still not like it was. Chemstorms, acid rain down south that can take the skin off a man in 5 minutes. And then places where it hasn't rained in 50 years. That's normal?
Touché, my dear man. No, things were tipped too far for it ever to be what it was. But it is now as good as it will ever become.
The 6 of them slowly steered their raft toward the bank. Jack, splashed in the face by Christy, licked the spray.
Real salt now.
Hudson's tidal here.
The raft grounded in shallow water, 50 feet or so from the bank. By the time they'd managed to haul and wrestle the ungainly craft nearer to the bank, the threatening storm had closed in from the west. Thunder rumbled over the hills beyond the river, and jagged forks of lightning punched across the livid sky.
Tie it up good and safe, Jack. Lot of rain upriver, and she could rise and rip the raft away.
Let's find shelter quick. Seen some buildings uphill a ways.
Cedars, balsams, and cottonwoods were mixed together on the gently sloping ground, with animal trails winding between them. The light was poor, but Ryan could make out that the spoor was mainly deer, overlaying something that might have been wolf. Each of the 6 carried a backpack. Doc stooped beneath the weight of his, looking tired. The incessant rocking and pitching of the roughly bound logs over the past 2 days was enough to drain anyone's strength. Ryan led the way through a bright patch of red-orange flame azaleas, picking his way between the nodding shrubs, ducking beneath some of their 12-foot-high flowers.
Where did you... Oh, I can see it, J.B. Below the ridge there.
Ryan recognized the setup. There had been a house dug into the side of the hill, with enormously thick concrete foundations. Below it, facing the indistinct remains of a narrow road, had been a double garage with up-and-over doors. The nukes had totally removed the house, slicing off the top of the slope behind it like a gigantic cleaver. But the garage remained, set deep like a rectangular cave. Over the years, earth had fallen and been washed down around it, building up gray deposits where shrubs had rooted and even trees now grew. The actual garage was nearly filled with wind-blown leaves. Lori dropped her pack and squatted down on her haunches.
Home, sweet home.
JB sized the place up.
Good defensive sight lines. Mudslide there left a narrow entrance. One person can guard it easy and watch down the hill. Should get a fire going near the mouth of the garage. Yeah, Ryan, it looks good.
The fire smoldered and smoked at first with the dampness of the wood they dragged in. The leaves inside were so dry that they flared and sparked like tinder, but they wouldn't sustain a flame properly. Eventually, though, Jack persuaded the fire to brighten, and it cast its glowing light all around the cavernous building. Doc and Lori swept the leaves together, brushing them with their hands and feet into a neat pile at the rear of the building. On the back wall, high up, they found a long shelf, hanging precariously by rusting iron brackets. There were a couple of plastic containers containing oxidized nails, screws, and clips. Lori found a cup and wiped it clean, then asked Doc to read the bright green lettering on its side.
It says, "I rode the Steel Phantom," whatever that means. The little picture looks like some sort of roller coaster. And don't ask me what that means either, dear child.
The six friends had only been inside the underground garage for about 10 minutes when the threatening storm arrived on their bank of the Hudson. There was a dazzling ripple of lightning stabbing through the darkness, accompanied by a truly deafening crash of thunder. The sound was so loud that it seemed to echo inside their heads for several seconds afterward. More lightning followed, almost continuously, so that their own shadows danced knife-edged on the side wall of their refuge. JB peered out into the night.
Likely there'll be rain. Good job the raft's well moored. Gonna be a bad one.
Best open the cell feeds. How many we got?
The armorer had the most at 5, and Lori the least at 2.
Need some real food. Saw deer tracks.
That reminded Ryan of the other spoor he thought he'd noticed as they hurried up the hill toward the garage. The G-12 in his right hand, he walked casually toward the low entrance, squinting around the earth slide that blocked off the outside. There was another rumble of thunder very close, and vivid lightning tinged purple. He could hear the hissing and pattering as the first drops of rain began to fall on the ruined path. Ryan stared for several seconds. He turned to the others inside.
Hey, we got company.
The note of warning in Ryan's voice was enough to bring the others to his side, every one holding a cocked blaster. Christy was the first one to join him.
What is it?
Look for yourself.
The girl took a cautious half-step forward, bending so that she could see out under the lip of the roof where the garage doors had once hung.
Gaia!
A fierce flash of lightning broke outside, making her green eyes glitter with a vulpine glow. The others took advantage of more lightning to stare outside for themselves, seeing the company that Ryan had mentioned.
Oh, they're lovely, but they get wet and cold.
Ryan's only guess was that they were some sort of muty bears. Most of the dangerous creatures around the